Mayor Adams is going to be joining us by phone. Is he on the phone now? So I'm required to read a statement, and then we'll invite, we'll welcome the mayor, and then we'll take up the next item. And to those of you who are leaving, thank you for joining us this morning. And actually, we'll wait a minute and give you a chance to pack up and So I'm going to read a statement. The mayor is not physically present at City Hall today, as he is in Washington, D.C., attending to city business. His inability to participate in the next time certain on the police training center would jeopardize the public interest, health, safety, or welfare. Therefore, unless there is an objection by any member of the council, Mayor Adams will participate in this time certain hearing by teleconference. Hearing no objection, welcome, Mayor Adams.
Mayor, are you there? Is he there? Hold on, we can't hear him. Hello, Mayor, are you there?
So we will we'll work out the technical.
Oops.
Try him again.
Hello, are you there?
So, Carla, why don't we, we'll call in again, and while we're waiting to connect with him again. Mayor Adams? We're having just some technical difficulties. We'll Carla, I have a thought. Let's introduce the matter, and then let's continue to work on the technical issue, if we could. And without objection, I'm going to ask that items 213, 214, and 215 be read together. Carla?
213, authorize acquisition of property at 14912 Northeast Airport Way from D. Ross Enterprises, LLC, by the Bureau of Internal Business Services for a training center complex for Portland Police Bureau. At 214, support the establishment of a training advisory council and the reaffirmation of the mission of the Portland Police Bureau. And 215, authorized revenue bonds for police training facility.
Welcome, Chief Reese. Mayor's going to be joining us in a minute, but are you prepared to tee this up?
I am.
The mic is yours, sir.
I want to begin by thanking Council for the opportunity to present our findings today on the proposed training facility. Acquiring a training facility has been one of my top priorities as Chief of Police. The Police Bureau, as you know, does not currently own a training facility, even though we are required by DPSST to provide training to all police officers to maintain our certification. Before I show you the facility that we are proposing to purchase, I want to show you the facilities we are currently using to train our officers and the lengthy process we undertook to arrive at the proposed location. And so you're looking at a beautiful building, a historic building in the neighborhood I grew up in St. John's. Mm-hmm. And it is where we had the North Precinct until we consolidated precincts several years ago. It currently houses the administrative offices for the training division. Of course, our current program is very fractured and inefficient, relying mainly on leased facilities throughout the metro area that change year to year based on availability. The St. John's campus just holds the administrative offices and the captain. Due to its limited size and configuration as a police precinct, it's not really appropriate to do any training there. The place where we do firearms training is the Tri-County Gun Club. And that is in Sherwood, Oregon. It's about 18 miles away from the downtown core. We are not the owners of this facility, and we are not the sole users. And so our ability to secure range time is very limited. Our instructors and students work out of modular trailer classrooms. There is no sewer and water service at this site. All ranges are outdoors with no cover from the elements, which proves problematic in Portland, Oregon. And the ranges are static, providing limited opportunities for scenario-based training. So basically, we're focused on skills. Can we shoot straight, but not necessarily can we make good decisions about using our firearms and putting officers in more realistic situations than just simply target practice. Camp Withicum is an Army facility that we've used for many, many years, and we've leased space there. As you can see from the pictures, our tactical houses have been underwater at various times. This location provides some opportunities for scenario-based training, but it is less than ideal. And unfortunately, this location is no longer available. The Oregon Military Department terminated our lease last month due to construction of a highway, and this venue will be going away due to the construction. This year, our in-service, with the loss of Camp Withicum, we are really using, again, as we struggle to find facilities, we're using the Wapato facility where we've entered into a lease with Multnomah County for the non-exclusive use of the jail for portions of this year's in-service. We also drive to Tri-County Gun Club and East Precinct in East Portland. This map that you're looking at illustrates the inefficiency of our program and the loss of training time caused by multiple training venues. So when the mayor directed us to put together a proposal to bring to council, really about a year and a half ago, we looked at our minimum training needs. So what does our program require? We need administrative offices. We need classrooms. We need an indoor range, defensive tactics area, a place to drive so that we can run officers through our low-speed skills course, and scenario-based training. In order for our program to be successful, we really need to have these specific needs met. Without a dedicated facility in the future, we would probably continue to use our administrative offices to house our folks at, in St. John's. For classroom space, we would probably continue to use East Precinct and the Traffic Division. And while there's no specific cost for the facility use there, this limits their use for the community. For firearms training, we would continue to use Tri-County Gun Club when it's available. Unfortunately, we do not currently have a venue for defensive tactics, so that's one of our struggles. We would be looking for a place to lease. We do not currently have a place to drive cars. We, like most metropolitan police departments in the Portland area, struggle to find 5 acres of pavement where we can practice driving skills, which is critically important for our officers. We have identified a location, however, they would lease it to us at $19,000 per month. And again, we are currently using Wapato for scenario-based training. However, the site doesn't fit our needs, as it's difficult to create real-world conditions inside a facility that was built as a jail. Using this current model, our projected facility costs would exceed $310,000. So to give you a little bit of the history of where we've been, in 2007, we looked at a regional training facility in Scappoose. The estimated cost of developing that facility was $120 million. And although we came close to purchasing the land, there was never a financial plan in place to build the facility. When I became chief of police, the Mayor Adams asked me to put together a proposal to meet our training needs that would also be fiscally responsible. And we initially looked at city-owned property at PIR, but after months of deliberation and work with the city attorney, the Bureau of Environmental Services, and the Parks Bureau, it was determined that there were too many issues to mitigate at that location. In addition, when we had architects look at the ground-up construction costs, they were estimated at $28 million, which was above the budget that we set for ourselves. We also looked at property owned by the Bureau of Environmental Services at the old St. John's landfill. The property did not have enough space to meet our driving needs, and we would have had to lease space adjacent to that property. And the property owner wanted $264,000 a year to lease the parking lot. In addition, the ground-up construction costs at that location were estimated at $25 million. So last summer, we worked with OMF to retain a broker who identified 46 commercially available properties. And we looked at many of those sites. Some of them we determined would not fit our needs. But we looked physically went out and looked at many of those sites. And after considering nearly 50 sites, the Police Bureau has selected an existing building and property located at 14912 Northeast Airport Way. And as you can see from the schematic, this is a large building that's already existing. It's on 9.4 acres. It has pavement in place, so we wouldn't actually be paving any of the property. It's in excellent condition. It was built in 1998. In fact, if we were to plan a newly constructed site, it would be configured just like this building, which is amazing. OMF has completed due diligence on the site, and they have provided you with their findings. Bob Keat is here with us to answer any questions about those findings. As you can see from the conceptual drawing, the property can be easily renovated to accommodate our program needs for the first time in a single location. And Captain Parman is going to run a short video that shows you the current condition of the building. It's about 60 seconds in length, so we'll let it load.
We're still having some technical difficulties, but I understand the mayor's listening via speakerphone.
Well, it's our day for technical difficulties, so I'll just, you're looking at an overhead view of the building. It is along the Columbia Slough, and a significant factor in our decision to bring this purchase to the council was that the building itself can be broken into wings for static training, or we can consolidate it for scenario-based training. So, for example, a scenario could begin on the driving pad and then move into either the defensive tactics wing or the scenario village to simulate real life, what officers encounter on the street, so that they can look at additional decision points and train around them. The value for us of scenario-based training is that it provides a realistic and stressful environment where it is safe for officers to learn new techniques. Because we would control this facility, we could create an exact set of conditions so that the consistency of our training is improved. A combined training facility also improves our oversight of our programs and increases efficiency. With training in a single location, supervisors could visit multiple classrooms throughout their workday, and students, of course, would not waste valuable time commuting between venues. I realize this is a very difficult time to bring forward a proposal to actually purchase property, and I have the estimated costs on a screen for you. The purchase price for the building is $6.4 million. To build it ground up would be over $10 million. This is an opportune time to look at a strategic investment in public safety. In a few years, this property may not be available, certainly not at this price as the economy improves. The hard costs are those renovation costs. And again, we talked to council about a budget of $15 million. We have strong confidence in the $14,200,000 figure. Certainly, we would scale back to meet the budget and meet the bond requirements.
Excuse me, Chief. There's a little asterisk by that $14 million that talks about contingency cost. Is that in the $14 million?
It is not. It's the there's $1.8 million in contingency costs. That's if there are things that once the contractors were to begin construction, if something occurred that would cause additional money. I think Bob can probably talk about the specifics.
So that will
those.
Be included, though, as part of the total
it
project
is.
Cost, part of the financing. Of
yes,
the,
sir.
Okay, thanks.
But again, we have high confidence in the $14 million. We've met with architects and certainly have done due diligence in putting forward what our program needs are within this facility. Operating costs are estimated at $395,000 for our fully operational facility, which would not occur for about a year when the range is completed. During construction, we estimate those costs would be substantially lower than that because of reductions in janitorial service, maintenance. We have currently one FTE assigned to the training division just to look for locations to train. So that position would no longer be needed, as we would have our training consolidated in one location. So that's a $90,000 savings. We expect that there would be revenue generated at this facility, as well as other efficiencies in fuel savings, reductions in overtime, and other operating costs. I believe that this project is ideal for many reasons. This location is within the city, reducing commuting time for staff and students. It's allowing for better opportunities for community involvement, improving program oversight, and making our training more consistent. In addition, the Police Bureau will own and operate the only facility of this type in the metro area, allowing us to rent our facility when it is not being used by the Police Bureau. While it is difficult to accurately project revenue, we have contacted several agencies in the metropolitan area, and they have all expressed strong interest in using this facility when it is completed, leading us to conclude that cost recovery will be possible. Again, every police department is mandated to provide training. We all struggle in this area to find facilities, and we've had strong support from our partners that they would like to rent and use this facility when it is built. Lastly, I want to stress the benefits of this project, which include incorporating all of our disciplines into one location, increasing the use of scenario-based training, and creating efficiencies in our training operation. While I believe our current training instruction is of the highest caliber, the role of police officers in our community continues to evolve. And to meet the expectations of the public and the courts, our program needs to provide officers with strong critical thinking skills, which are developed through scenario-based training. The move to a consolidated facility would be the culmination of years of planning, and it would allow our program to meet the needs and expectations of the community for years to come. As part of this proposal, we are moving forward with the formation of a training advisory council to provide community input to the captain of the training division. I also see additional benefits to the city, as we have needs at the fire bureau and other bureaus for training. I think really we should look at this as a public safety training facility, not just a police training facility. As part of our conversations with the fire department and the fire bureau and the fire chief, we have designed in the facility space, office space for them so that we can co-locate instructors. This is a unique opportunity, and while it is at a critical time in terms of the economic forecast, it's also a strategic investment in public safety and in the future of our community. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. I also have Captain Parman here with me, Bob Keita from the Office of Management Finance, and Mike Kuykendall, who oversees our training programs as well as our business operations.
Chief, before we take some questions, Carla, how many people signed up to testify today? Okay. Council questions?
I would just observe on the Fire Bureau piece that you didn't mention is the Fire Bureau, although they have a training center, has no place to practice driving. So I think it's important for the council to understand that this actually provides an opportunity for the Fire Bureau to do what the Police Bureau needs to do, and that's have firefighters actually have a place where they can drive fire apparatus to practice to be able to be certified to drive engines and trucks.
We've also had that same discussion with PBOT. They are drivers driving big rigs, and they need that space as well to train, and the Water Bureau security would like to come out and use the facility for training.
We pay so much a year right now to lease space. I wish I could tell you right off the top of my head how much that is, but we lease space out in North Portland, almost to Rivergate, to do that currently. So this is good.
Chief, actually, piggybacking off of that comment, you've identified the opportunity to collect some revenue off this site by allowing sister organizations to train there.
Yes,
both within the city and jurisdictional partners. And you've also identified potentially some savings within your own bureau budget. that would accrue, the one position, among other things. Is it your intention to take any of those revenues and savings and apply it to the debt servicing of this so that if we do experience a big upside, it can reduce the general fund exposure on the debt service?
I think that is a financially responsible plan, and I would certainly entertain doing that. Our goal initially is to meet the operating revenue operating costs and maintenance costs, but additionally, if we have revenue on top of that, I think it should go back to debt service.
Do you have some projections on operating costs and how that might, and will there be some forthcoming asks during the budget process?
The current projection, once the facility is fully operational, after the range is completed, would be the operating maintenance costs would be about $395,000 per year.
And is that, I assume that's not currently budgeted?
Again, we have lease costs that we're spending. We have personnel costs that we would eliminate as we move forward and use those funds, plus the revenue that we anticipate from sister agencies.
Commissioner Saltzman asked a question off of the pro forma you've put in on sort of the budget. And I think it raises another interesting question, which is, are we building and planning towards the $15 million that the council set, committed to, or in your view, can we build this for less?
I think that the current budget we've set out, 14.2, will be adequate to meet our needs. So that's what we took a look at our program needs, met with architects, talked about what we're currently doing, and then initially we were looking at building a facility from the ground up. And so we had a conceptual idea of what those needs would be. Really, this building is exactly what we would build if we were looking at a vacant piece of land. Of course, it would have cost. That's why when we started looking at PIR and the BES sites, why the costs were so much more than the $15 million, because ground-up construction was more expensive than buying an existing facility.
So let me put it just slightly differently. If the council's will was that there'd be a hard cap of $15 million for this project, and in the course of your due diligence and the initial phases of construction, you determine that you trigger a contingency, can you scale this project and live within the $15 million ceiling if that was the council's will?
We will, yes.
And could someone just update the council on what's the current snapshot of the market right now for doing bonding? I mean, we've heard historically we're in unique times in terms of favorable interest rates, but could someone give us an update on that?
We have bonding coming up next, but Jonas.
Hi, Jonas Beery, City's Debt Manager in the Office of Management and Finance. The bond market right now is, in fact, favorable. We're looking at historically low rates, particularly inside 15, 20 years. It's a 10-year financing. The current, give me just a second, I can tell you the current estimated true interest cost is about 2.1% over 10 years, if that gives you a sense of market conditions at this time.
Thank you. Commissioner Saltzman?
You made a statement about revenue from our sister bureaus.
Sister agencies.
Sister agencies. So,
other law enforcement agencies.
Oh, law enforcement.
Yes.
So we're not expecting any money from the Water Bureau or the Transportation Bureau towards the cost of this construction and renovations?
No.
There's no expectations of any Fire Bureau or transportation.
Again, I think there's opportunities, as Commissioner Leonard pointed out, where other bureaus may save money because they're currently leasing or renting facilities for training, and we would incorporate them into our training schedule.
Sure, but none of those are cash contributions towards the construction and renovation.
They are not.
Acquisition and renovation.
Correct.
Well, and to be clear about my question, I might not have stated it as artfully as I should have. I was just picking up on the point that if we have a facility of this kind, I understand that other law enforcement, sister law enforcement agencies might want to do training here, in which case we could generate some revenues, which could go back into the project.
Yes.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you for the presentation. My understanding is that you've checked this out with the Bureau of Development Services. It's in the industrial zone, and that BDS has determined that this is a industrial service use, more like a training facility. Rather, it's not a public service, a public safety facility.
Yes.
So it will be allowed by right without a conditional use.
That is correct. That's my understanding.
And I concur with that interpretation. I think it was well done. Have you heard from the Neighborhood Association or talked with them at all?
Again, it's in an industrial area. There's no residential property close to it. There's other commercial businesses similar to what was there before, truck manufacturing, truck parts. The property backs up to the slough, and I think one of the unique opportunities with this particular piece of property is it is isolated, but with access, the Parks Bureau has an easement on the backside of the property to the slough. We can use our parking lot for public use, and then we've talked about maybe creating through the Regional Arts Council 2% requirement for our arts set aside, using that money to create an interpretive path that allows the public access to the backside of the property in the slough and access to the waterway there.
That sounds like something the Columbia Slough Watershed Council will be very pleased
with. It really is a unique opportunity with this piece of property.
Thank you. And then my final question is on item 214, the Training Advisory Council. I really appreciate the work that the Police Bureau has done with the Human Rights Commission and the Community and Police Relations Committee. And I would like you to consider, as you know, but the audience may not, the Community and Police Relations Committee is a subcommittee of the Human Rights Commission, and it has 5 police officers, 5 human rights commissioners, and 5 members of the public at large. And I would like you to consider having a police officer who serves on that committee, one of the human rights commissioners who serves on the committee, and one of the civilians at large who have taken the Community Academy course to be part of the advisory team for this facility.
I think it's a great idea. I would not want it to be in a resolution because of the changing nature of our community groups and things like that, but we have a strong relationship with the Human Rights Commission, and I would really appreciate their participation on an advisory committee.
I think that group has done diligent work and has looked at a lot of training issues, and indeed that's one of the reasons I'm going to support this set of ordinances, because it's clear that the community wants the police training to be more coordinated and to have their input. So thank you for agreeing to do that.
Thank you.
So I want to make an observation about what it is that we're getting ready to vote on.
Next week.
What it is that we're beginning to have testimony on then. This is really a remarkable conclusion to about a 5 or 6 year process that I think it's important for not just the council, those of you who weren't here then, but for people listening to really appreciate what it is that we're doing today, beginning under the term of Mayor Potter. He and the then police chief began negotiations to purchase, it was over 100 acres, as I recall, of land in Scappoose. And they had argued at that time that the only viable location for police training facility would be that location. And Chief Reese said that the estimate was $120 million. I was told at the time it was $120 to $150 million to purchase the land and develop it. To say that I was mildly skeptical would be very conservative, and I found myself in a very odd position having the reaction I did as it was explained to me, because I, more than most, but I certainly think that Chief Reese and others in the Bureau agree that one of the best way to avoid injuries, whether they're to firefighters or police officers, is to have them well-trained and to have ongoing training and to have it be consistent. So here I was, listening to the mayor and then police chief make a presentation to me that just didn't make sense. And to compound that, the fact that the property was in Scappoose, and to compound the fact that it was up to $150 million, I asked what Commissioner Fritz just asked. How is it zoned? And it was zoned farmland. And I said, how in the world do you expect to take, you know, let's just say we get past the $150 million goal, and let's just say we can get our arms around having police officers drive every day out Highway 30 to Scappoose. How in the world do you plan to get it zoned from farmland to an appropriate designation for police training facility? And they told me, well, we've talked to the state senator in the area and some of the other folks there, and they think that won't be a problem. Well, I've been in the legislature, and I've been here, and that was, at a minimum, an understatement of the process and the unpredictability of getting a zone change that would allow this facility to be built, not to mention that once again, it was 150, because when I'm told 120 to 150, I conservatively think that the 150 was probably the right figure. So because I was skeptical and because it was in the budget, it was actually in the budget, I actually told the mayor that I would oppose it in the budget and would work hard to have it removed from the budget. I was asked to have a briefing by the top command staff of the police bureau so I could fully understand, and this was in 2008, what it was that they were proposing to do, because they were convinced that if I understood it, I'd vote for it and I'd quit opposing it. So thinking that maybe I did have a blind spot on it, I called the then president of the Portland Police Association, Robert King, and said, and explained what it was I was being asked to listen to, and asked if he would come to my office, sit with me, and listen to the presentation, and then I would appreciate any feedback. So I got the full meal deal, a video show, slides, handouts. And when they were done and left, I asked Robert to stay, and I said, have I missed something here? He said, you have missed nothing. This is a black hole, which was exactly what I thought. So until Chief Reese became the police chief and Mayor Adams became the commissioner in charge of the police bureau, that was the plan for the Portland Police Bureau, was to move ahead with that facility. When Mike became police chief, this was one of the issues he understood, that it was going to be divisive for the council and it was going to be divisive ultimately for the police bureau. And he set about on this path, which ultimately identified this piece of property, which I would point out, fully completed at most, is 10% of what was originally proposed, is in the city of Portland, and can be used by multiple city agencies, notwithstanding the other agencies that are in the surrounding metropolitan area that can use it. So, Mike, it's no secret I think you're an outstanding police chief because of the leadership qualities you bring, but just you're just a good manager. You also are very, very good about looking at the details and making sure that the small stuff gets looked at as well. You cross the T's, dot the I's, and I think it's really important to acknowledge that here, given the history of this project, and that it wouldn't have happened without your leadership and without Mayor Adams. And I greatly appreciate, first, you getting me off the hook so I'm not in the position of voting against a police training facility, which I believe in deeply, but that you've really served the citizens so well by identifying this piece of property in this and with this budget to do what really should have been done years and years ago. So thank you very much.
I appreciate your kind remarks, but it was a team effort, and without the mayor's support, we wouldn't be here today.
Actually, technically, that was a question, Chief. So do you have a comment to the question? No, we'll so let's move to testimony. We could bring up the first panel.
Thank you.
First four, please come on up, are Suzanne Hayden, Thompson Morrison, Stan Gister, and Aaron Hubert. And the last person will be Judith Hutchinson.
Good morning. Welcome. Suzanne, you want to kick us off?
Yes. Good morning, Council. I have a little bit of a throat issue. My comments today, Suzanne Hayden, for the record, I'm the Executive Director of the Citizens Crime Commission. I'm also a longtime Portland resident. I'm going to limit my comments to the Training Advisory Council portion, so I'd like to defer to Stan Sitzer, who's our chair of the Citizens Crime Commission, to have him speak directly to the training facility, and then all my comments will be on the advisory council, if that's okay with you.
Good, and we're taking this all up as a package, so we can sequence it, but you're welcome to testify on that item afterwards. Sir?
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Stan Sitzer, and I serve as chair of the Citizens Crime Commission. I'm here today on behalf of the Citizens Crime Commission and the Portland Business Alliance in strong support of the Portland Police Bureau's purchase of a building that will house a dedicated officer training facility. You know, if I could leave you with one thought today, it's this. It's about time. We have long been supportive of a police bureau training facility that will provide a more efficient and effective means to train their more than 900 sworn personnel on an annual basis. The Crime Commission has several board members who have gone through the Portland Police Citizens Academy. One's right here next to me. It was their firsthand experience to the actual training conditions that our officers experience that led us to host two executive briefings last spring to educate the business community about both the training requirements and the substandard facilities that the officers are using to fulfill those requirements. We feel the purchase of this building is necessary and should be a high priority for the city. Frankly, it's about time. The need for an adequate police training facility has been discussed for decades. However, no plan has come to fruition because some the costs were too high and others the locations were inappropriate. But at last, some good news. This plan is attractive for several reasons. First, the facility price, including necessary upgrades, is within the designated budget. The location on Airport Way is geographically convenient for all the precincts. The building is flexible and can accommodate all the necessary components of training except the high-speed driving, which can be accommodated elsewhere. The building will house the administrative offices for the training division. That makes sense. The facility can be brought online in short order. And finally, it has the potential for generating revenue by renting and leasing it to outside agencies. From a business perspective, we think that makes sense. I was just at a public event a couple weeks ago where there's a West Lynn Police Department sergeant, and I asked him if he'd heard about this facility. And he said, heard about it. We're watching excitedly. We're hoping that it's approved, and we would hope to use it to train our own officers. It's about time. The Portland Police Bureau is the largest police agency in the state, and yet it's not equipped with a single location where defensive tactics, driving, firearms, and scenario training can be conducted after officers have gone through the police academy. Realistic scenario-based training exercises are shown to be effective training tools. This proposed building allows the Bureau to maximize those training opportunities for the officers. The current training has officers driving to four separate locations to achieve the necessary hours of training in the various disciplines, none of which are where the trainers are located. It's kind of a crazy quilt solution. The current disjointed approach raises logistical and efficiency concerns, and more importantly, concerns that the training is not optimized. In addition, having a set location provides potential opportunities for community participation and collaborative training with other public agencies. For all these reasons, the Citizens Crime Commission and the Portland Business Alliance strongly support the purchase of the property on Airport Way and the necessary upgrades to achieve the goals of the training division. It's about time. Thank you for your leadership and for listening to our point of view today.
Thank you, sir. Erin?
Thank you very much. I also serve on the Citizens Crime Commission board, and I'm here speaking for the board as well as just a business person. My name is Erin Hubert. Excuse me. Unanimous support for this training facility. Commissioner Leonard, you really gave a good background in how we've gotten to where we are. That makes it about time, and it's now the right time. Having gone through the community academy training as a citizen, it was completely shocking, unfathomable that our police officers have to train in the facilities that they do. They have no running water, no restrooms. I won't get into the detail of trying to use an outhouse with 30-plus pounds of equipment around your belt and what that produces. Labeled too much information, but it is just amazing to experience what they go through and the inefficiencies. I was struck by any business operation, our teachers, anybody who would have to train in these kinds of conditions and the public outcry that there would be. So it's just hard to imagine we wouldn't consider today what's on the table, particularly at this given time. It has just really reached a perfect time and everything come together. It makes all the pain, I think, of the last few years worth it to be here at this point. So unanimously support it, and thank you for the chance to testify today.
Thanks for joining us, sir.
Thompson Morrison. I'm on the board of the Software Association. I also serve on the board of the Bureau's Z-Man Foundation and also the co-chair of the board for the Rosewood Initiative, which is a partnership between the Bureau and the community for economic and public safety issues out in East Portland. So I was also involved as a business executive in the first Citizens Academy that was held. And as Aaron, it was quite an eye-opener for me. And not only was the transportation issues related, but also just the conditions by which we expect our officers to be trained in. And that was quite a shock for me. And as a business person, I also recognized that the inefficiencies of that really directly affect the effectiveness of the training itself. We in this city have extremely high expectations for our police officers. We are perhaps the most demanding community in the entire country regarding our police officers. We expect them to always maintain safety, but do that at the minimum of a risk to human life at all times. So we place tremendous expectations upon our officers. We also need, in order to fulfill that, have to also ensure that they have the adequate training to actually fulfill that great responsibility that we are investing in them. And having seen the long story, as Commissioner Leonard relayed, and watched that over the last 3.5 years that I've been directly involved with the Bureau and watching this issue, I was extremely pleased when I saw this proposal come together and recognized, as from the business community, how essential this is for us to put in place. We in this business community need to have the best police officers that any country, that any city has, and that this training facility will allow us to be able to consolidate those that training in a way that will improve directly its effectiveness. And for that reason, I'm fully supportive, and I wanted just to express that opinion today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Suzanne.
Thank you again. I'm Suzanne Hayden. I'm the Executive Director of the Citizens Crime Commission. And I wanted to speak to the resolution regarding the Training Advisory Council. We absolutely support the community involvement with our police officers and believe citizens who've gone through the Portland Police Bureau's Citizens Academy would be willing to serve in this capacity. My own personal experience going through the academy was very humbling. And the scenarios that we participated in during the academy were very realistic. And we saw firsthand when we went on a ride-along after the academy was over that those calls that we responded to were, in fact, very exactly on point with what the scenario-based training was surrounding. So it was extremely effective and extremely compelling. We had a scenario regarding someone who was in mental health crisis who was going to commit suicide with a weapon. And that night, there was a call that came out regarding a young man who was suicidal on the bank of the Willamette with a rifle. This is extremely important to have community understand the complexity of the calls that police are responding to. It requires a high level of skills and tactics to respond to those calls, and we want to support them in any way we can. We see the Training Advisory Council is a really beneficial way of community engagement with our first responders, whether it's police or fire bureau personnel. This is an ideal opportunity for community to be involved. But we also believe that it's important for the community to be really aware of the types of calls that police in particular are responding to so that they can be in an effective advisory board for the police. Again, we support the creation of the Citizens Training Advisory Council, and we would gladly serve. So thank you very much for the time. Thank you for your leadership in this, and thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Who else has signed up?
The last person was Judith Hutchison.
Thank you. morning. My name is Judy Hutchison.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity to come and testify in support of the purchase and financing of the new facility, as well as the formation of a training or advisory council. As a native daughter and proud citizen of the city of Portland, I value our city's dedication to preserving our way of life. Paramount to maintaining our city's vibrancy, economy, and culture is public safety. I was fortunate to participate in the Portland Police Bureau's Community Academy this past May. It is a unique and diverse program that educates common citizens like me about what happens in the daily life of a Portland police officer. Among other activities, we heard officers discuss the emotional toll police work takes on them and their families, and we were able to role-play some of the real scenarios they face in the field. It was a day I will never forget, and it increases my confidence in and respect for our Portland police officers. After our training concluded, I joined an officer for an 8-hour ride-along. We went on at least 8 calls that night, and the one that sticks with me the most is the domestic violence arrest we made. It played out almost exactly as it had in the training scenario I had acted out earlier that day. I know that the officers were prepared for the call because they had trained for it before. Training is critical. However, the various facilities the Bureau used that day were inadequate and geographically dispersed, which dilutes the impact such training could have. I could not more strongly urge the city to invest in a new training facility for the Portland Police Bureau. The proposed location is ideally situated. It would allow many aspects of the needed training to be consolidated and easier to access. Our police officers have made the most of the current training facilities, but imagine how much more effective they could be with improved facilities, more space, and more time to train. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chief Reese, could you come forward again with your team? Is Mayor Adams intending to say something, Carla? Or is he just listening?
We have a mic over here. I'm not sure. Mayor, can you hear us?
He's listening. So, we only have one item we're voting on today, which is 214. 213 and 215 go to a second reading. Questions and comments from the council? Commissioner Salt.
Yeah, I have a question. I asked you this earlier. I guess I want to ask you again, Chief, for your commitment.
Hello?
There. Oh, yeah.
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, fine.
We can hear you now.
I can't hear you very well.
Okay, we'll speak up.
Okay. So I'm asking you, Chief, for your commitment that you will not seek other general fund revenues or ratepayer revenues, i.e. water and sewer, to construct, to acquire, renovate, and operate this facility. I'm asking you for that commitment on the record.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
I misspoke. We're going to put the resolution over to next week, too, so we can vote on the whole thing as a package. Other questions and comments?
I don't understand the answer to that question, because it's my understanding that it does.
Commissioner Saltzman just pledged ratepayer revenue to the project?
Well,
it wouldn't be appropriate.
I object.
Okay, good. That's what I wanted to hear.
But it's a revenue bond, so it does.
No, he's talking about Water Bureau funds.
Water Bureau BES. Or BES.
Well, or if the project goes over budget, additional general funds. So I got the answer I needed.
Yeah. We will meet our obligation, Council.
I have charged the Water Bureau. We're not paying any money.
Right. None of those money will go towards the acquisition or construction of the project. Is that
or operation.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Other questions and comments? So,
and they have lunch in the lunchroom there on their lunch break.
So, are you? I have a question.
The Water Bureau can use our facility.
Thank you.
So, since the offices will not be driving all around the Tri-County area, will there be more training time?
Yes. Currently, in this year's in-service, we have to take an extended break at lunch so that officers can actually commute 28 miles through the downtown core area from North Portland, where Wapato is located, to the range in Sherwood. So you can imagine the time that takes.
So have you figured out if what's the annual in-service training time for the police officers now in terms of hours?
Yeah, we spend at least 40 hours at in-service every year.
And do you have an estimate of how many hours it will be after this facility is up and running?
Well, it would still be 40 hours, but there would be increased training time because we have to build in commuting time currently into that 40-hour schedule. The
It varies year to year. We've been in Canby, having to drive there for the range at one point. We use facilities wherever we can find them in the metro area. So really, it varies every single year.
So currently, we don't actually get 40 hours of training because some of that is travel time.
Correct.
Thank you.
I think that concludes the discussion. Mayor Adams will be back next week when we take the vote, and we'll all have a chance to make statements. Thanks to those of you who joined us today who may not be able to join us for next week. I don't think there's a lot of drama around this vote, but we appreciate you coming in, and we'll have the votes on these matters next week.
Thank you for your time.
We are now about to start our regular agenda. I'm going to ask that we take a three-minute recess, a compassion break, and then we'll take up our regular agenda.
President Fisher, we're not going to vote on 214?
No, the mayor has asked that all three matters be put over to next week.
Thank you, sir.
They've had a chance.